This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn and Shaoning. 7:37 a.m. Tuesday the 16th of June. And in about half an hour, we're going to be having the breakfast grill. Breakfast grill, where Roshan Gunnison speaks with Serena Shukri, CEO of the Malaysian Digital Economy Corporation.
Yeah, I mean, in the wake of COVID-19 pandemic, necessity has become the mother of digitalization because companies in Malaysia and around the world have had to swiftly shift the way they communicate, work and do business in order to survive. So the question is, what is the role of MDEC amidst this crisis, and what is it doing to onboard Malaysian companies into the digital economy?
All right, so that's going to be a very interesting conversation. Be sure to tune in later on after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. But over in Beijing, fears of a second wave of COVID-19 is testing China's containment measures. The new outbreak, which is now at about 100 cases, is thought to originate from Xinfadi, the city's largest fruit and vegetable market. Now, officials are quickly trying to trace contacts of anyone who's visited it. They've locked down 20 residential compounds yesterday and have been going door to door to identify anyone who might need to be tested.
Meanwhile, if we look at the US, infection rates never really came down, and some states are now reporting spikes in cases amidst reopening of economies, with Arizona, Texas and Florida reporting the highest case numbers yet. So as any country or all of us attempt to restart our economy, including Malaysia, we'll be watching these cases closely for clues on how best to navigate the risk of a second wave of infections.
So for some insight into this morning we speak to Dale Fisher, Professor of Infectious Diseases at the National University of Singapore. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Dale. Now, China has reported a cluster of cases over the weekend, its largest daily increase in cases since mid-April. So has the country taken sufficient measures, in your view, to avoid a second wave of infections? Should we be concerned?
Oh, yeah. China, can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can. Thank you very much, Dale.
China is... Done a response beyond what most countries have. Firstly, it's been without a case for 50 days. So that's testimony to the strength of what they did, with China having about 80,000 cases through January, February. But now what they're doing, obviously, is what everyone will need to do should they recognize a cluster amongst very good control, and that is a very aggressive approach to case finding and testing. They've realized there's a problem has arisen. We're still not exactly sure how that happened, but one thing for sure is you really need to now dig it out. And indeed, any country, once they've apparently eradicated or at least got very low numbers, need to be very wary of clusters arising and jump on them. So that's exactly what China's doing.
Now, as economies from the US to Malaysia and even Singapore, where you're based, start to reopen, what are the measures cities and countries need to take to honestly prepare for a potential second wave? I mean, is it just contact tracing, physical distancing sufficient? Or, we need to consider the possibility of another series of lockdowns?
Well, it would be a pity if it comes to another series of lockdowns. Lockdowns are when you really have lost control. There's community spread. You can't track the transmission chains anymore because it's just being picked up in people where you've got no idea where you got it from. So eventually you have to ask the community to or make it law to close businesses, go inside, because obviously if everyone goes inside and has no contact with each other, then you end up with regaining control. No, once you're like Australia, Singapore, New Zealand, you've got those very low numbers, and then it comes down to detecting clusters. So if a cluster broke out in a factory or in a school or in a hospital or a church or wherever we've seen outbreaks, in this case in China it's in a market, then it's really about as I say, just getting all over it. You've got to really actively contact trace if it's focused enough, you can actually just find out where the index case has been and who's been in contact with him. But if it's something like a market, then really they're going door to door and just saying, have you been anywhere near that market? Have you been in contact with anyone near that market? And then you do a test. And I expect China will be doing absolutely thousands of tests to really detect anyone that could be there. And indeed, as you know, they've locked down that part of the city anyway. So at least contain it within the city, within that prefect of the city until you've controlled it.
And Dale, you know, one thing in common that China, Beijing's case has is also with Malaysia is that we've seen a rise in infections related to markets. So it happened in Wuhan, it happened in Beijing, and of course it happened here in Kuala Lumpur. Just curious, why markets? Why does it seem to be a hotbed of infections?
It's nothing magical. It's places where you can't distance. Maybe places where it's not so easy to wash your hands frequently. Also, if they're actually colder, then the virus can survive for longer in the environment. If it's, for instance, in a frozen section, it's obviously more difficult to clean the market because you can't go around cleaning wet markets very easily. So all the things that we ask people to do in the community, which is frequent cleaning, frequent hand washing, distancing, wearing a mask, these things may be harder to do in marketplaces.
Now, Dale, there has also been a lot of talk about the possibility of herd immunity as a potential way to combat this virus, since a vaccine seems to be quite a ways off just yet. Now, so far, nearly 8 million people around the world have been infected with the coronavirus. Is there so far any city or region where people have developed sufficient immunity to curtail the potential impact of a second wave?
Yeah, well, as you know, there's 8 billion people in the world, so we're only 1/1,000th of the way to everyone being infected. Of course, you don't need everyone infected for herd immunity. 60 or 70% would make it very difficult for the virus to continue to transmit freely. And the short answer to your question is no. The biggest number I've seen is Manhattan, which was at 22%. So, for instance, what's happened in New York, that would need to happen three more times to get herd immunity. And with their tens of thousands of deaths, that's not a path they want to take. So no, most of us still don't agree that natural herd immunity is the way. And it's much better to work out a symbiotic relationship with the virus where we can live with it. Maybe there'll be some little clusters which we can shut down, but we're trying to find that happy medium where businesses can still open, the economy can still flourish, yet the virus doesn't run madly.
And Dale, you know, in the US, there are some concerns that as the country reopens the economy, and also because we saw a lot of protests across the different states, do you think there could be a second surge in cases? Do you think this is likely for them?
In the United States?
Yes.
It's very hard to generalize with the United States, of course, because it's made up of many big cities. But obviously... In cities where, so there are some cities that actually don't have control and they're easing all those restrictions. So it's a bit hard to call those a second wave. It's more of a spike on top of the ongoing first wave, if you like. But if there are cities that have got good control, and now that we've had complete loss of all those social distancing and other restrictions, then it could be very difficult for them, especially if they've had the marching along the streets and things, then I think they will see a true second wave. A true second wave really means there's been a large number of cases. It's come down to very minimal, and then there's a second spike for whatever reason. So yeah, I think it's highly likely that because of the community response in some countries, you're going to see an increasing number of cases again.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Dale. And that was Dale Fisher of the National University of Singapore, where he's a professor of infectious diseases, talking to us a little bit about all of these fears over a COVID-19 second wave that are testing countries as they start to reopen. Right now, we have some messages for you. And then up next, we're going to be speaking with Ng Zi Han, Assemblyman for Kinrara, on budget reviews for local governments. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.